Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting freedom, health, and wellness. Egalitarianism, peace, and justice. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're joined for an interview with Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. Dr. Tuttle is most well known for his book, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And he has many other books, and we'll be hearing about his latest one. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, who's joining us via Skype in Northern California. Welcome, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much, Marlene. I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your new book coming out soon.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, I've been working on this now, and it should be coming out this year in a couple of months toward the end of the year. And I'm not exactly sure of the precise title, so I don't want to say for sure what the final title will be. But it's has along the lines with food and freedom and the healing power of the golden rule. It's the underlying idea is taking off from my earlier book called The World Peace Diet, which was Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, and the impact of our routine mistreatment of animals for food and other products, and how that really harms us and our yearning to have peace and harmony in the world. And this is looking, again, more deeply and also at the issues that we face today regarding our personal freedoms and liberties and our rights, and how animal agriculture, again, creates the template of a culture where a very small wealthy elite is dominating and exploiting the rest of humanity in many ways in the same way as we, as a small number of human beings, dominate and exploit billions and billions of non-human animals. And so I think it's very important for us now, especially, to make these connections. That's why I wrote the new book. The thing is, what we've seen happening over the last few years is a consolidation of more wealth and more power in a smaller and smaller number of people, a cabal of globalists that work through these organizations like the World Economic Forum, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and so forth. And this has been well understood for years. So there's nothing new there. But the intensity with which the agenda that they are pushing to take away the basic rights and dignities that we have as human beings, it's really sped up, I think, over the last couple of years. And we see things that are really quite shocking in terms of the amount of wealth, for example, that the lockdowns of 2020 created, and the large increase in suicide, drug addiction, alcoholism, and so forth, as well as so many deaths of people. And so it's been very telling, I think, to see how the mainstream media has not questioned the official narratives that have been coming out from the mainstream governmental agencies. And yet there has been a lot of evidence that people who are respected scientists and doctors are no longer allowed to speak up, or if they do speak up, they're being censored. And I've seen this myself, even myself, actually. I mean, it happens because there's a very strong, obviously, agenda that has been is being rolled out, where the World Economic Forum's founder, Klaus Schwab, wrote a book called The Great Reset. And it's based on this idea of never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So if you manufacture a crisis or an emergency, that's really a very powerful way to then push the population into fear. And then when they're afraid, they're willing to give up essential freedoms. We gave up, and we've lost, and we still haven't gotten them back. Freedom of speech has been attacked terribly. Freedom of assembly also. Freedom of traveling, freedom of bodily autonomy in many cases, and freedom of the press. I mean, these basic freedoms are in the Constitution and in the Nuremberg Codes and so forth, and in other statutes have been attacked and reduced, and our economic freedom also. So those are the things we're seeing happening, obviously. I mean, this is pretty obvious. But the connection, I think, with animal agriculture really needs to be made, because what we see is the same tactics that we use on animals are now being used on us. There's whole armies of scientists, for example, that work in laboratories to try to find ways of genetically engineering cows and pigs and chickens and fishes, other animals, so that they will be better able to be profitable in highly confined situations. And so animals that won't need to have their beaks chopped off, or they won't get so frustrated when they're hyper-confined and so forth. And so we see that the World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab has been very explicit, and other people also, that we want to create sort of this great reset, this new way of humanity living on this earth that is no longer connected to nature. One of the main things, he calls it a post-carbon era. I mean, you know, this idea that carbon is somehow bad. Carbon is the foundation of all life. All plants and animals and humans are based on carbon. We're carbon-based beings. And so this whole kind of making carbon into the enemy, and we have to have a smaller carbon footprint and don't put out any carbon, I think it's a very, almost an, I could say, evil agenda to make us feel bad about breathing even. I mean, so I think we have to be very careful on a lot of these agendas. Some of these main official narratives. Another one is, of course, the basic idea of digitizing everything. Everything should be digitalized, including our bank accounts, including our identities. He talks about the gray set being the fusion of our biological and digital and physiological beings. You know, so they just to combine the digital and the biological, and he even says that it would be in the future, like we have glasses and we have hearing aids and we have these kind of things. We'll all have chips of some kind of computerized digital systems in our bodies that will be used to, he says, to allow us to do more things. Of course, it's a perfect way if you want to survey everyone and know exactly where they are and where they're going, and if you want to make sure they don't go here and don't go there, that's what you would do. And yet it's taking away our ability to transact, to travel, to live our lives freely, to decide where we want to go when and how we want to live. And I think these basic freedoms are the foundation of what it is to be a human being. We've done the same thing to cows and pigs and chickens. Their basic sovereignty has been stolen by us human beings. They're not allowed outside of their fences, outside of their cages. We do this to billions of animals, and we cause terrible suffering to them. They're literally driven into insanity, banging their heads against the bars of cages until they're fattened up big enough to be taken off to the slaughterhouse. So we're sowing the seeds of exactly this. These animals are forced medicated. They're exploited. They're oppressed. They're impregnated against their will. Their babies are stolen. Their purposes are stolen. we're very well practiced in this. We've been doing this for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, actually. And the whole point is that if we're going to insist on turning these free-living sovereign beings into livestock, then we are sowing the seeds for the same thing to happen to us. That's what the golden rule is. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want to have done to yourself. And yet we do. We're doing this to others. We would not want to have that done to ourselves. And we see it happen, obviously. We have to understand this.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. This is Alive by Will Tuttle. This is Farm to Freezers by poet Monica Aria in England, UK.
From Farm to Freezer. In my head, I try to walk with them. In my heart, I try to feel their fear. My feet and hands become hooves. I see my blooded body hung by a hook. I wanted for someone to save me, tell them not to drain me. I yearned for someone to witness how they violated me and my sisters, how they turned my children into a blooded leg, dripping flesh, a leathery belt. I had been bought. I had been sold. I had been traded by crooks, rapists, murderers, all fine-looking gents, identified by names, not ear tags. I have a price tag. I'm slapped with a barcode. They don't even call me an animal. They call me livestock. Once again, I am not I anymore. I am a painful death stored in your freezer. Please walk with me in your heart, in your head, from the farm to your freezer, from the kill floor to your table.
That was vegan activist and poet Monica Aria. One can view her poetry recitation at Angry Cow Poetry, Outdoor Voices in an Indoor World. Joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle in Northern California. We're discussing his latest book, soon to be released by Vegan Publishers, located here in Danvers, Massachusetts. Here's Dr. Tuttle.
For my book, I've been doing a lot of research into some of these foundations, like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, and so forth. And for decades, the Rockefeller Foundation, for example, has been pushing very hard for a medical system that is based on petroleum, on petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, which are based on petrochemicals. And so the whole idea was to get wealthy on these products that are made from petroleum over the decades. And that, of course, there was a lot of resistance to that in the beginning. So the Rockefeller Foundation commissioned the Flexner Report, which basically forced medical schools, if they wanted to get financial funding, which Rockefeller was providing on a massive level, they had to be more, quote, scientific, which meant using pharmaceutical drugs. And so all of the more naturopathic and homeopathic medical practitioners back around the year 1900, 1910, 1920, they were all forced out of business and even in many cases ended up going to jail if they wouldn't stop practicing. And so we have now a medical system that's dominated by the pharmaceutical industry, which is really the petroleum industry. And we have seen the same kind of thing happening in the educational system. You know, my PhD at Berkeley focused on education. Actually, I studied education. My PhD is in education. And it's well documented that the big money from these foundations has transformed our educational system away from people learning to be creative and think critically toward being willing to do whatever authorities tell them to do. This is really what education does. We learn to do what the authorities tell us, and if we do what the authorities tell us, we'll get the reward. And so this kind of system basically takes away our independence as individual beings and makes us, in a sense, beneath and very easily exploited by the small cabal that is running things and controls the funding. And the amount of money that the pharmaceutical industry and these other industries are generating makes it easy for them to capture the mainstream media, which they have done now, as well as all the governmental organizations that are supposed to protect us, like the FDA and the CDC and the NIH and the USDA and so forth. These agencies have been captured by these large corporations, and these corporations have also gone into the banking industry. And so Rockefeller long ago diversified out of petroleum and into banking. And so when the banks really have tremendous power in the background behind all of these things. So it's very important to understand that their main agenda has been depopulation. The Gates and the Rockefellers have been working together now for many decades to depopulate and to spread more programs for injecting people as well. And also, of course, the other big one is the so-called climate, anthropogenic climate change, which is being used to take away our freedom to travel, basically. And we can see this coming, that we're not going to be allowed to just travel however we like, because we all have a carbon footprint. And if that carbon footprint is considered to be too big, then we're not going to be allowed. And so one of the best things we can do is to go vegan in terms of helping the environment. There's no question about it. It's the greatest thing we can do to help the earth. But what is happening is all of these other types of environmental problems are being not talked about. All we talk about is climate change. Like, everything is climate change. Because these chemical companies would rather people didn't think about all the 100,000 now different chemicals that are sprayed into the water and into the air. There is weather warfare that's being conducted, and that's used, again, to scare people. For decades, the military has been working on ways of creating extreme weather events as a way of war against other nations, or even against their own people if necessary. And that's been happening, and it's well documented. This is nothing new. Lyndon Johnson talked about it way back when he was president, create floods and storms and droughts and so forth, and to create high pressure systems so rain clouds never go over a certain area, all these kinds of things. So they can call this global warming, right? So we have to all now not travel anymore because of that. So the basic idea here is to just understand that we have to use our intelligence and not just gullibly believe something that's in the mainstream media.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle. I would like to delve more into the topic of the vegan movement being co-opted. And so let me use one example.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm really sad that the vegan movement has been divided. Then I hear a vast majority of people in the human freedom movement claiming that veganism is part of the Great Reset agenda. And I'm like, no, they couldn't be further from the truth. And so could you delve into that more? And I'll start with the topic of a popular video that's been circulated by the World Economic Forum. And in one section of the video, there's a man, an actor, who says, "You will eat less meat." And of course, we know that's not a vegan statement, but that's what's being interpreted. So can you please talk about that?
Yes, thank you, Marlene. That's a really important point. The situation we find ourselves in now is that the vegan movement, it's really in many ways the greatest obstacle to the globalists, because what veganism stands for is honoring and respecting the rights of sovereign individual beings, of individual animals and individual humans. And it's based on the idea of non-harmfulness, on ahimsa. So any of these movements that is threatening to the globalist agenda of the tyranny of the many by just a small handful, in order for them to be able to reduce us and take away our power, is to co-opt or infiltrate these movements. And so that's happened very clearly with the labor movement. It's happened with the environmental movement. And so we have a situation where the vegan movement has also been infiltrated. And the basic idea is to divide. And from my point of view, the vegan movement is really not about smaller cages. It's about empty cages. It's about liberating the animals, period. And so the cabal is anti-life, basically. Unfortunately, that's what it is. And so it's been infiltrating the vegan movement, bringing more and more emphasis on materialism and what I call faux veganism. It's a false veganism. The way it's done is that these liberation movements are co-opted, and it's what's called controlled opposition. You have the use your media and your programming and your narrative control and so forth to control not only the narrative that you're promoting, but also to control the narrative that the opposition is promoting, right? So that's really, and it's not that hard to do when you control the media. My father owned a whole chain of newspapers. I grew up in Massachusetts. I know in my bones how money completely corrupts the media, because you have to have advertising. Advertising is the foundation of the media. They can't do anything without ads. So you have the pharmaceutical industry giving billions of dollars in ads. It's not so much they want to sell their drugs. They're doing it so that guaranteed the radio and television networks and the newspapers will never do any kind of serious journalistic investigation into the pharmaceutical industry, because the executives of these media companies will never allow it. And everything has been monopolized to such a high degree. And we have a situation now that most people aren't even aware of, where we have these very large asset management companies, firms like BlackRock and other ones, Vanguard and State Street and UBS and so forth, that control literally trillions of dollars. And they are able to influence all industries, basically. And so the idea that, like, for example, the petroleum industry is against the global warming narrative, right? That idea that, oh, the petroleum industry, they want everybody to drive cars, you know, and so forth. You have to understand that the petroleum industry is just controlled by the same wealthy bankers that control also the companies that make solar panels and batteries. The people who control things, they make the decisions. And there's a tremendous amount of money to be made by the green, so-called green revolution. And batteries, for example, lithium-ion batteries and so forth, extremely toxic, far more toxic than petroleum could ever be. And in terms of horrific water pollution and so forth, there's only one company in the entire country of the United States that recycles these batteries for solar, that are used in solar panels and so forth, the solar systems, because it's so toxic. So that's the thing to understand. It's not about oil. It never was about oil. It's about control. And actually, they make more money in the long term and have more control and power over us with that money, with the so-called green revolution, because that you need diesel or gas or nuclear or coal or something to make the electricity. So people are being completely manipulated, and I don't see why they don't see it. I mean, I understand why, because we've been systematically, unfortunately, dumbed down and told to trust authorities, told to trust experts. We should just do whatever they say. we have to just question that, absolutely question everything. And as vegans, we're supposed to be questioning official narratives. And like you say,
this is the sound of animals in laboratories, pharmaceutical laboratories, under the pharmaceutical mandates.
Most vegans, I've found to my chagrin, are still lost in the world of materialism and do not question the official narratives and are easily gullible and manipulated like everybody else. So it really needs a resurrection of Sophia, like I've been saying, a resurrection of the sacred feminine and a resurrection of, I think, in a sense, the sacred masculine that can look with a penetrating gaze and look through the shadows of deception, because we're living in an empire of lies, and to see through all these deceptions and to see what's actually happening. The welfare of us and of our children depend on our ability to do that, to develop not only loving kindness and compassion and caring for each other, but to be aware, to have street smarts, you know, to be savvy and to see when someone's trying to manipulate and deceive us, that we don't go along with that. We have a responsibility to be informed and not to just drink at the trough of the mainstream media, which is paid for by these gigantic corporations. And there's laws in place that give them more and more power and that are continually undermining alternative sources of information. That's why your program, Marlene, is one of the most precious and valuable programs that I'm even aware of, because we have to have the opportunity to think about these issues in a critical way and to have a conversation about this if we're going to have a future for our children, and to see the bigger connections between what we're doing, how we're being influenced, and what happens to animals, supporting the system of slavery to animals, because if we're going to insist on enslaving them, we're sowing the seeds of our own enslavement.
And yes, the World Peace Diet, especially at this time of the International Day of Peace. Looking forward to your new book coming out by Vegan Publishers.
It was really great talking to you, and thanks again always for the great work you're doing. Much love. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Will Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation, and I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.